Hello and welcome to the Wheel of Crime podcast. This podcast is ran by two ladies who play games, mump profanities, and laugh way too often. Also, this podcast does cover topics of sensitive nature, and as such, listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome back to the Wheel of Crime podcast. My name is Jen. And there is no Emily today, unfortunately. She's had a family emergency, which is why we were off last week and why she's not here this week. Can't say too much because that's her story to tell, and I don't know how much she wants to share, but I'll just leave it at that. And you've got just little old me for this week, but don't worry because we've got a really good story. Well, I've got a really good story for you guys this week. I'm really excited to share this one because it is one that I've been looking forward to sharing on the podcast. It's a little bit of a shorter story today, so I'm not gonna do a weekly checkup or the questions because Emily's not here and can't ask myself. I mean, I could, but I think we can all agree that would be a little strange. So basically, we are just gonna jump on into our story for this week. And then next week, we will be back to our regularly scheduled program with both Emily and I and the full show. But you're getting a little bit of a bite-sized episode this week. All right. Well, let's just jump into it on that note. Today, we are going to talk about the Tromp family. Don't confuse it for the Trump family. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the Tromps. And this family was comprised of 51-year-old Mark Tromp and his 53-year-old wife, Jacoba. Together, they had three children, Rihanna, Mitchell, and Ella, and they lived out on a farm in Sylvan, which is on the outskirts of Melbourne, Australia. And on their property, they established a successful red currant farm and earth-moving business. By all accounts, the Trumps were a normal and hard-working family. On Monday, August 29th, 2016, that might have changed, or at least the opinion of it might have changed for a few people. But on that day, Mark and Jacoba and their now three adult children, who were between the ages of 29 to 22 years old at this time, got into a car and headed north. The family fled their home and no one knew why or what happened. Now, as you can imagine, people noticed when a whole family seemingly just disappeared. So police were later called to the Tromp farm to investigate. And when police arrived, they discovered the family's passports, credit cards, mobile phones had all been left behind. The only phone not left behind belonged to their son, Mitchell. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, well, what the fuck happened? Like, where did they go? What's the situation? So, Mark and Jacoba had been suffering increasing signs of stress and paranoia. At least one of them had become convinced that someone was out to kill them and take all of their money. So they decided to pack up their adult children and take a cash-only, off-the-grid road trip with no way of being followed. Their son Mitchell, however, kind of put a kink in their plans. He appeared to be the only one of the family not swept up in the belief that they were in danger. And he later said that he had gone along to ensure they would all be safe, but his parents became increasingly delusional and hard to tolerate. Some 30 kilometers away from home, they made him throw out his phone out the car window and they appeared convinced that it was being used to track them. The family drove in Ella's silver Peugeot SUV through the first day and night until reaching the New South Wales town of Bathurst, which was 800 kilometers away from home to the west of Sydney. It was around 7 a.m. that morning, which was August 30th, that Mitchell had had enough and he decided to part ways from the family. Later that morning, the remaining four tromps headed east from Bathurst to a popular tourist spot, the Jenolan Caves. It was there that Rihanna and Ella also decided to part from their parents. They did this by stealing a car, and the two sisters drove south to the town of Goldburn, where they reported their parents had gone missing. In Goldburn, Rihanna and Ella decided to part ways from each other at a petrol station, with Ella saying that she wanted to go back home to feed her horses, which honestly, you know, we love a horse girl. You know, she's dedicated. And she became the first tromp to be located when she arrived back at the family farm on Tuesday night and found police there. Mitchell arrived home the following morning, having taken a series of trains to get back home. And while Mitchell and Ella appeared reasonably unaffected mentally, the same could not be said of Rihanna. She had climbed into the back of a utility vehicle in Goldburn and was only discovered there by a male driver after he had driven almost an hour away, and he pulled over and found Rihanna to be in what he called a catatonic state, saying she did not know her name nor where she was. Rihanna was later taken to Goldburn Hospital, where she remained in psychiatric care. Police said that she was spared of charges over the stolen vehicle for mental health reasons, even though she was originally charged, but it was dropped. Ella, however, was charged with car theft. As media interest grew, because once the media got word of this case, everyone was very interested in this weird, mysterious road trip that this normal family had taken and were missing. An interstate search began, and Mark and Jacoba drove back towards Melbourne from the Jenolan Caves, and a day later, 600 kilometers south of the Victorian town of Wangaratta, they too became separated. Jacoba headed north again, and no one really knows how she got there, because she didn't have a vehicle, but she was found the next day, 350 kilometers away in Yass, wandering in an agitated state. She was then taken to a hospital there and later moved to Goldburn to be with her daughter Rihanna as the pair continued mental health treatment. Mark, on the other hand, had stayed in Wangaratta after dangerously tailgating a young couple. He was seen fleeing from Ella's Peugeot, and police began investigating a number of break-ins in the town, including at a motel, although it was pretty unclear if it was related or not. So back at their farm in Sylvan, Mitchell and Ella made an emotional appearance before the media, saying they were baffled by their parents' paranoid behavior. Mitchell said, quote, "I've never seen anyone like this or anyone conduct themselves in this way. I just really want my dad to be found. He's not dangerous. He's my mate, my father. I love him." And kind of the last piece of this bizarre mystery was put into action on Saturday evening, 6 days after the whole ordeal began, when Mark Tromp was found beside a road near Wangaratta Airport. He was questioned by police, assessed by a mental health officer, and then released into the care of his police officer brother, showing the middle finger to photographers as he was driven away. He later released a more contrite statement apologizing for, quote, "the hurt and concern caused by these events." He paid respect to the community resources devoted to his family's aid as the public attempted to make sense of all this drama and the whole situation. Police didn't believe that there was any real threat to the family, and one investigating officer from Sylvan District described it as, quote, the most bizarre case he's seen in 30 years. Sergeant Mark Knight, who knew the family prior to this whole thing, said that they had no diagnosed mental health problems. There was no evidence of drug taking, as some people on social media had kind of theorized. The family had no debts and did not belong to any religious groups. Sergeant Knight said, quote, this is just a massive meltdown, I'm sure of it. Michelle and Ella Tromp admitted it was really hard to explain. Mitchell said, quote, I've never seen anything like it. It's really hard to explain or put a word on it, but they were just fearing for their lives and then they decided to flee. It was built up of different normal everyday events, just pressure, and slowly got worse as the days went by. Some people speculated that the family may have been affected by chemicals used on their farm. Media reports from 2016 said that police were also contemplating whether the family suffered from collective delusions. In an episode of Folie à Deux, the French term means madness of two. And it kind of covers a rare psychological condition occurring most exclusively in close-knit families. It was originally coined to describe a 19th century French couple who began exhibiting paranoid and delusional behavior. While doctors were unable to tell which one of them had become psychotic first, it was clear that they had fallen into a cycle of reinforcing each other's delusions. The full reason for the Tromps' very public meltdown is not really known. They've kind of all apologized and said they don't really know why. And police say that no further charges are expected to be laid, and that the issue is now simply a family matter. And that's it for the story today. This one is kind of like a really interesting one, because, you know, usually when a family flees or a family goes missing, it's some sort of like criminal activity. In this case, it really was just like them being paranoid, and who knows what really was the motive, like if there really was some sort of threat or if it was really just all kind of a delusion, I guess. We'll never know. But that's it. That's all for the episode this week. If you liked this episode, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all at Wheel of Crime. We also have a Patreon, Wheel of Crime. We've got a website, www.wheelofcrime.com. We've also got an email address, wheelofcrime@gmail.com. You can email us anything. We've got our lovely, lovely, lovely Google forum where you can suggest stories, where you can write in your own stories, because Emily and I like to read your stories every now and then on an episode. I think we'll be doing one of those super soon, because we haven't in a while, and they're so much fun to do, and we love hearing from you guys. If you liked this episode, you could give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It really helps us out a lot, and I think that's all. I don't know, Emily usually does the outro, so maybe I'm missing something, but I think that's it. All right, we'll see you next week for another new episode. Okay, bye!